Right, Philemon. Philemon is the shortest letter in the Bible, but it's also a really controversial one because it's discussing a subject people find really difficult, and that is a runaway slave. And the reason they find it difficult is that Paul does not give a 21st century answer to a first century problem. And that is what we would like him to do. So before we really delve into Philemon, let's do a little background on slavery. We begin with a Jewish issue, which is the Bible is a book of seeming contradictions, when in actual fact, two things can be true at the same time. On the one hand, the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt before God freed them. And he's always going on about this in every Old Testament Bible, every Old Testament book you find. I am the Lord who led you out of Egypt. I am the Lord who freed you. But in Exodus chapter 21, beginning in verse 2, we find that they can still have slaves. I'm going to start by reading this. If you purchase a Hebrew slave, he is to work 6 years. But in the seventh, he is to be given his freedom without having to pay anything. If he came single, he is to leave single. If he was married when he came, his wife is to go with him when he leaves. But if his master gave him a wife and she bore him sons or daughters, then the wife and her children will belong to the master and he will leave by himself. Nevertheless, if the slave declares, I love my master, my wife, and my children, so I don't want to go free, then his master is to bring him before God, and there at the door or doorpost, his master is to pierce his ear with an awl, and the man will be his slave for life. And you can carry on reading right to the end of this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it will take too long, and I will be putting up references to this in our resources section tomorrow. But essentially, the point is slaves had to be treated fairly. Slaves had to be treated reasonably. But you could keep slaves. Now, in the 21st century, we do not like that. And we shouldn't like that because we live in a completely different time, in a time where you didn't ram an awl through someone's ear and make a hole in it, pin it to the doorpost to show he was a slave. But the Bible, that part of the Bible, was written even before Paul. And the reason I bring it up is Paul would have had in his mind, when it came to slavery, not just Jesus, but the whole history of the Israelites, where you are told you must treat a slave fairly. He is not an animal. He is not your property. You cannot do whatever you want with him or her. And in the days when that was written, that would have been ridiculous. He's a slave. She's a slave. They're my property. I can do what I like with them, and it's no business of the gods what I do with them. And here you have the Hebrews being told, if you marry a slave and then decide you want to marry someone else, and you then ignore that slave and cut off their food because you don't like them anymore, you will be punished. If you kill a slave, you will be punished. Let's fast forward to Philemon. Now, in the days of Paul, slavery in the Roman Empire was as normal as using electricity for your lights and using a computer for your communication online. You could not have a world where there were no slaves, not then. Now, the reason we don't like this is because we associate slavery with the Deep South and with the American Civil War and, shame on us, the British Empire, because we did start the slave trade in America, no matter that the Americans carried it on after they booted us out. But the important thing is, in those days, in Paul's day, it wasn't to do with racism. There was no racism involved. It was just how it was. If you were a slave, it could be terrible. If you were captured by the Romans in a battle, your whole tribe could be marched off into slavery and you'd end up in a silver mine, in a salt mine, or in a gladiator school, where as likely as not, you would stay for the rest of your life. If you were a gladiator, you might be freed, but everyone despised you. If you were a slave, your evidence in court was no good unless it was tortured out of you. But on the other hand, if you belonged to a rich man, you could do very well for yourself. Some former slaves ended up running the empire and got to boss Roman generals around, much to the disgust of the Roman generals, I may add. So in this context, Paul cannot say free all slaves. If you did, you would be executed by the Romans immediately. It just couldn't be done. And if a slave ran away, he would have a label round his neck when he was bought as a slave, which said, if I'm found away from my master, bring me back and punish me. And the master has every right to crucify him. In this context, we get the letter to Philemon. Philemon is a person of standing in the town of Colossae, which is in modern Turkey, quite close to Ephesus. And I believe that is where Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. I find that convincing because Onesimus, the runaway slave, came to Paul, and it would have been very difficult for a runaway slave to get all the way from Colossae to Rome with a hue and cry after him. So in this letter, Paul has a difficult problem. What do I do with this runaway slave? I can't keep him because he's not my property. I can't tell Philemon to free him because that will cause him no end of trouble. At best, he'll be laughed at. At worst, he'll be in trouble and could be punished for releasing a runaway slave. So this is what Paul does. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing which you have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. When you're asking someone to do something they do not want to do, it's not a bad idea to start by praising them. Not because you're trying to manipulate them, but because you're making it clear you don't want to do this because you're telling them to do it. You don't want to manipulate them into doing something they're not going to want to do anyway, but you want to make it known we're partners here. We're doing this together. This is an example of how we as Christians can earnestly persuade people to do the right thing when they won't want to do it and society won't want it. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, an old man and also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. We don't know the story, so we're not going to go into it, but at some point, Onesimus the slave ran away from Philemon, and we get the idea that he probably stole something from him too. Paul is asking Philemon to take him back. Philemon is not going to be pleased to be told to take him back. We're assuming Philemon was probably good to him. He was a Christian, but we don't know that. We're assuming Onesimus was in the wrong, but we don't know that either. So Paul is still essentially saying, here I am in prison. Do something for me, encourage me, refresh me, and listen to my appeal on Mr. Useful's behalf. That's what his name means, Mr. Useful. Formerly, he was useless to you, yet he has become to useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so he could take your place in helping me, while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Paul can't keep Onesimus. He can't say, Onesimus came to me, he's mine now, I want to keep him, I want to look after him. He's wonderful, he's my child in Christ. But he can't, because Onesimus belongs to Philemon. Paul can't tell Philemon, just set him free and let me keep him, because other slaves will then get the idea that if they run away to someone like Paul, they can get off scot-free, and that will never do. Instead, he's saying, Onesimus is my heart, and I'm sending him back. It's a bit like a father sending his son to college or university, or saying goodbye to someone who you know very well and love very much. It's painful to have them go. And he's using that terminology to say to Philemon, if you receive him, you're receiving me. So please do what I ask. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to you, to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. No, he's not! You can imagine some people in the community immediately responding, because this letter is likely to be read to everyone. He's a runaway slave. But Paul is hinting that Philemon should let him go because he's a Christian now. That means, as Dad mentioned earlier, there is no slave or free in Christ. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Paul is making the same argument without actually saying it. And as a footnote, this is how slavery in the Roman Empire died. More and more people became Christians and they freed their slaves because they realized, if I'm a Christian and my slaves are believers too, why on earth are they still my slaves? I'll have to let them go because they're equal. But notice, the Bible doesn't say you must free them. The Bible says it doesn't matter if you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you're free, because we are all one under God. In some translations, the disciples call Jesus Master. In others, they call him Lord, because they understood he was God and they were not. And this is hard for us to accept, because we have this idea that no one should be a slave, everyone should have rights, which is true. But the truth is, under God, are you willing to give up your rights? So if you consider me, Paul carries on, a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that I owe you your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul is referring to something he's referred to all the time. In Christ, we are one, and Christ redeemed us. This isn't about justice and slavery. This is about reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. Paul is standing as a bridge between them. There, Philemon, is Onesimus. Welcome him back as you would welcome me. You're receiving him. Receive him as if he was me. Receive him as if he was Jesus himself, Paul is saying. There, Onesimus is Philemon, your fellow brother in the Lord now, to whom I'm sending you back. Be reconciled. Does that remind you of something? Does that remind you of someone who stood as a bridge between us and God so we could be reconciled? Paul's not saying that directly. He doesn't need to. He knows Philemon will make that connection by himself. And so he ends, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Well, that doesn't really give you a chance, does it? Confident of your obedience, I'm sending him back knowing you'll do more than I ask. You can't really say, no, I won't after that, can you? Some people have said this is manipulation. I don't think it is. I think it's just another example of Paul earnestly persuading people in the church, people in Christ, to do what they already know is probably the right thing. But it's a hard thing. It's a controversial thing. It's something that will cause a lot of upset and a lot of grumbling in the community. And it will puzzle everybody too. But Paul's saying, Philemon, will you do it? Oh, and one more thing, Paul goes on. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. And the last letter goes on to, as Paul always does, the greetings from people who are in prison with him. About four or five people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, he finishes. What can we learn from Philemon? The Bible doesn't condone slavery, so any fool who tries that kind of argument, forget it. But what the Bible does do is say, whatever position you are in, there is no difference. It doesn't matter if you're dirt poor or if you're living at the top, if you are a Christian. What groups feel they are superior to other people today? Where do you have people who feel they have the moral high ground? If we're in Christ, you don't have the moral high ground over anybody. This is a story of reconciliation. Where in the world do we need reconciliation? Is the church, are we as Christians standing in the breach? Where do Christians need to be reconciled to one another? Where are we standing in the breach there? Because do remember, this letter isn't about a Christian being reconciled with a non-Christian. This is about Christians being reconciled with one another. And as a final note, this did seem to work. 50 years later, there was a bishop of Ephesus whose name was Onesimus. Bishop Useful. Thank you very much.